What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection, and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
The Volume.
It's Jenkins and Jones, presented by FanDuel. The NBA season is kicking into gear, and there's no better place to get in on the action than FanDuel. The app is safe, secure, and easy to use. FanDuel has exclusive offers, boosts, and more all month long. When you win, you'll get paid fast. FanDuel has lots of ways to play, like the spread, money line, over-unders, team totals, player props, and so much more. Jump into the action at any time during the game with live betting, and combine multiple bets from the same game in a same-game parlay and try out Same Game Parlay Plus. So, download the FanDuel app today to start making every moment more. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over in select states. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It is Thursday, February 2. And as always, we're coming to you live on the Amazon AMP app, 7 a.m., West Coast, 10 a.m. East Coast every Monday, Thursday, and on all the other streaming platforms after that. Thanks for joining us wherever you are listening. And today, before we get into the show, I've got a big announcement. We are doing a merch giveaway. You can win a Jenkins and Jones hoodie if you are listening to this live on the Amazon AMP feed. All you got to do is answer this trivia question in the AMP chat that you're looking at right now, the AMP chat, and Jackson will pick a winner and get in touch about how you can get your free Jenkins and Jones hoodie. Here is the question. It's a trivia question. The question is, who was right about peanut butter and jelly, John or Tyler?
We know who was right.
Just answer it in the AMP chat, and Jackson, you know.
I have to pick a side here?
You just pick somebody who provides an engagement, you know?
It's a merch good engagement. There we go. Pick the best reason.
Be good.
As always, Jenkins and Jones, hosted by LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's up, Bubbas?
Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody. Have a good.
I'm Guardy B, a.k.a. Mike. And
Motherfucking Mike. Motherfucking Mike.
Here for another jam-packed episode of Jenkins and Jenkins.
I am Casey Kasem.
I've started getting really? That in person.
Motherfucking Mike. Let's go.
I've told you I have a couple people at Poly who listen to the pod, so I've started getting people just walking up to me going, motherfucking Mike.
Hey, that's when you the homie for real. When you see one of the homies,
you're really excited to see that dude.
You know?
True.
Yeah.
I've got to open the show up talking about the incredible timing. We were discussing comedians and male comedians, funny male people, and their relationships on the last pod, and we brought up Olivia Wilde, and lo and behold, John ends up in Hollywood or something at a restaurant with Olivia Wilde, and I'm happy to tell everyone he did not know that she was there or recognize her at all.
I was just out, and she was sitting behind me. Apparently, I was told later that she was sitting behind me. I didn't even notice a woman was behind me, let alone a white one. You know what I mean? I had no idea. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I was told later, and that's who it was. Olivia Wilde was sitting behind me. I still don't necessarily know if she was. They could be lying.
Weird lie.
Because I, if they could say who, she could, they could have called her anything. You know what I mean? I don't know a white woman was sitting beside.
Next time you and I go to lunch, I'm gonna tell you that Jennifer Aniston was the barista or something.
I mean, like, I think I know Jennifer Aniston, right? Okay, that's the one that dated Brad Pitt, right?
I don't think so.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. Okay.
Before
Angelina snatched the dick away from her, right? That's what happened with Jennifer Aniston?
Yeah, that's the first sentence on her Wikipedia.
She got that dick snatched, bro. Angelina Jolie. Brad Pitt did.
Didn't some funny ass shit go on with like Olivia Wilde breaking up with Jason Sudeikis because... And he was like, and then Jason Sudeikis like laid in front of the nanny's car to drive me some shit.
Yeah, and then she got
because she was going to give like the special salad dressing to Harry Styles or some wild shit.
I think that's a different couple.
This is correct. And guess what? They're back together.
Who is?
Olivia Wilde and Jason Sudeikis.
No.
Yes.
Didn't Jason Sudeikis serve her with divorce papers in the like as she was on stage for a press junket?
I mean, they're not like remarried, but they're apparently like hanging out again. They might have been at dinner at the restaurant with John. Who knows?
if Jason Sudeikis was behind you and you didn't recognize him, I'd be annoyed.
I might have. You said what's the show he's in again? Ted Lasso. I would have noticed.
He's Ted Lasso.
I might not have noticed.
He doesn't have a mustache in real life.
Well, I definitely wouldn't notice him. Invisible.
What restaurant?
I forget what restaurant it was. Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't want to let us know where he doesn't want to let us know what it, what his status is. Jenkins and Jones super fans are gonna camp out at the restaurant waiting for John to return.
Jenkins was here. Honestly, don't know. Honestly, do not know. I know I ate a burger.
That's great.
That's what I know.
Okay. All right. Did you have a bun on it?
Yeah, I had a bun, man. You know what I mean? I did legs today earlier. So, you know, I earned the bun.
All right. Okay.
I earned the carbs.
I deserve this.
That's what I said before I ate it. I deserve this. This bread.
I told you I did not make up this shit about Jason Sudeikis willing to die before she shared her salad dressing with Harry Styles. I promise you, you just can't pull some shit like that out your ass. Okay, I'm gonna read this shit. So basically, you know, Olivia Wilde and Harry Styles, they worked on a movie together, and Olivia Wilde and Harry Styles started dating. You know, while her and Sudeikis were married, and you know
they were breaking up or whatever, right?
What drama? Whatever. Right. So, according to the nanny, Sudeikis laid down under Wilde's car so she couldn't leave the house to see Styles. Jason went outside and lay under her car so she wouldn't leave, she said. She went back in the house and he went in. It was back and forth. He said she was doing it on purpose to make her late to go see Harry, she claimed. And finally, the salad dressing. The nanny explained, Jason told me she made this salad. And she made her special dressing, and she's leaving with her salad to have dinner with Harry. She has a special salad dressing she makes for us, and she's taking it to have with Harry now.
Hey, nigga,
I told y'all I ain't make that shit up.
Sudeikis might.
I kind of get it, though.
I get it, but he might be a bitch-ass nigga if you took it back. You know what I'm saying? If she making a special salad dressing for the nigga, bro, ain't no coming back from that, dog.
Well, they were getting divorced, maybe. and from my very limited following of the divorce, there was some real shitty stuff the other direction because John, she was on stage getting interviewed as part of a press junket for a movie when the server came to serve her with the papers.
He doesn't decide when she served, right?
He served her mid-presentation,
when she served, right? And I think that was because, apparently what Tyler said, the shit...
You can tell someone to serve with prejudice.
I mean, nigga, I don't know about all that. I ain't been through it. Hopefully, I don't gotta go through that shit, nigga. I don't know nothing about it.
Yeah, I'm saying,
Tyler, you were saying that, or Jackson was saying that, like, basically there was beef there because she was fucking with him before Sudeikis, right? Before they got divorced, correct?
They were still together, but on bad terms, and she fell in love with Harry Styles. Okay.
Also, I was wrong. They're not back together. They were just like seen together, and they're like,
okay, I understand it. Dude, special salad dressing thing. I think we good after that. It's over, dog. What if, bro? I ain't gonna put that in the air. No, I ain't gonna put that in the air. That's bad. That's bad vibe.
we ain't
speaking
no hypotheticals around this.
Shit ain't none of that.
Listen, I'll just say this. I feel like affairs are way worse than like cheating. Like I think you would be more crushed if you saw your wife like holding hands, eating ice cream in the park with a dude than if you just saw her coming out like a hotel.
It's a wrap, by the way,
they're
my nigga.
Fucking horrible.
100%. We out of there.
It's a wrap either way, but
we had a fun. I know I'm not going to forgive you. That's what I do know, and it's best for us both. We just move on either way. Let's get some therapy so we can go ahead and co-parent. That's all we got going on in this motherfucker after that, dog. This dick will not get hard for you again. My heart is broken, all right? And his dick is broken with it.
Shout out to people out there making it work after someone cheated, but I don't know how you're doing it. But, you know, support to you, especially the kids involved. You know, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. But,
it's just the forgiveness factor. I just know I'm not going to forgive this person. You know, I mean, not in a way that's going, you know,
All right. Speaking of ruined marriages, Tom Brady retired yesterday, officially. And did the most divorced dad thing possible, which is he went to the beach, sat on the beach. I'm sure he looked at the waves for 10 minutes or so before he recorded the video. And then he recorded a video. He scooped Chef D, Tyler.
Congratulations.
Got his ass. Congrats.
Officially retired. Gentlemen, your reaction.
I can't believe this is all about Chef D Scooter. I really cannot believe this motherfucker lost everything because Chef D beat him to the fucking punch, dog. That's all I was thinking the whole time, you know. And in the video, he was, you know, on the beach early as hell. You know, he probably went out to the beach to watch the sunrise or some shit. That voice was crackly as a motherfucker, dude. Like, he was emotional for real, dog. And I'm like, bro, all of this because of Adam Schefter. Why?
I have a different look at it. I see it differently now. You know what I mean? I have a different outlook. I'm like, based upon talking about how your mom brought up the fact that we all knew the shit was probably trash prior. You know what I'm saying? Could you imagine?
Marriages between billionaires don't fall apart on the last straw.
Right.
Like,
for you to have to split all that money up and get all that, what's going to be involved to figure that shit out? Nigga, that shit been trash for about 6 years. You've been fighting upstream for a while, nigga. You actually are too tired to keep fighting. You know what I mean? And I'm thinking this. The nigga would have retired to try to work the shit out and still would have been divorced. I think that would have been really fucked up on his side. We would have never known. We would have got the jokes off.
But at least he beat Chef D. Yeah. So it was worth it to you because at least this way he got one more win.
At least he got that off because the marriage was going to be cooked regardless. All right? You know what I mean? So, you know, hey, man. Good for him. Good for Tom.
I experienced empathy towards Tom Brady. I apologize. But I was watching the video. He was choking up. I think it was when he started talking about the people he played against that he started choking up, if I recall the video correctly. But you could tell he was really battling it. And I was just thinking about him sitting there on the beach, like you said, probably after he watched the sunrise, watching the waves go in and out. And, I don't know, man. I'm sure 99% of people in the world would trade lives with Tom Brady. But I'm looking at a divorced dad sitting there on the beach crying because he's going to miss his job. And I would not for all the money that he has, would I have traded lives with that race car bed in that moment, bro.
I mean, he's such like, you know, a strictly regimented dude. Like, bro, like the thing is, like a lot of former athletes say that they miss the routine a whole lot, right? Like, you know, of course they miss the game days, but they say like the routine, like JJ Redick was talking about how extensive his routine was, and it like it sounded like hell to, you know, to a lot of us, but he's like, bro, I loved it. I loved every second of it, you know. So I'm just curious to see, you know, how he adjusts. He's probably going to go into broadcast. I think he's going to be great at
it's
that.
Funny if too. He I so think chooses. Like quarterbacks so we'll and shooters is the same. You got to love the process. But I think you, like JJ said, he could not do the process one more summer. You know what I mean? And maybe that's where Brady's at. Like I don't have it in me to do what needs to be done to play at 45 years old. You know what I mean?
Look, neither is anyone in history, obviously, right? Like, he's already accomplished everything you could accomplish. But I will also say, whether you're, you know, we were talking about Jason Sudeikis, Olivia Wilde, you talk about Tom Brady, there's a lot of parts of being famous that don't look fun to me. But getting divorced publicly when you have kids seems like our family, it's a miracle everyone survived that process. I can't imagine if every time any of us left the house, we're hearing about it, or the idiots on Jenkins and Jones and 10,000 other podcasts are making fun of us. Like, you know what I mean? I cannot even imagine it. And having to go to your press conference every week at your job and have people ask you if your wife leaving you and taking your kids away is affecting your play on
niggas
the field.
Are getting
get me the fuck
she
out of here.
She was trying to be cordial and say something to like support him. And niggas said, damn, when you get divorced, they really, you know, somebody said, you sound, the lady sounds like an HR worker, nigga. Like, it's just business after that, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, Tyler said, Tyler had a perfect analysis. But she said, I wish you luck with your life or something.
Ooh, dog, that your. Nigga. God damn, what happened to us, dog?
You know what happened? This you gotta was, think, bro. Was he was probably just as sick. So that your is probably good because the us probably stuck, nigga. You know what I'm saying? So that he probably thinking like, you good luck with your life too, nigga. You feel me? I imagine both of their ass was on.
I don't know.
Bro,
go to her, Tom.
He knows. What his decision was going to require, was going to, how that was going to end. I think he knew how that was going to end.
I don't think
end,
he did. I don't think he did because
I agree with you, Tyler.
Go ahead.
That whole 10 day hiatus when he went dark mode and no one was here for him. He was trying to save that motherfucking marriage.
Maybe discussing this shit, but bro, like I don't think the nigga went into this situation without his wife telling him exactly what the fuck time is. It is.
I think she was telling him, but I think that she had been going along with stuff long enough. I mean, like moving to fucking Boston and shit, right? Like when you're a Brazilian supermodel, that I think he assumed that there was a base level at which he was kind of putting up with how unhappy she was about his job. I don't think he really understood, like, I will walk away from you.
I don't see your, how you don't kids, see bro. That, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, that conversation.
But that's because you are you. But that's because you are you and your marriage.
Been had for so long. You know what I mean? Like, you know when you know when you're in the last leg, like, well before.
But I think to what Tyler was saying, I think he thought it was part of the routine.
You get so used to it
because
being
it had been
shitty.
3 or 4 years in a row that it was like, I'm taking time off at the end of the season to talk with my family. He's convincing her, okay, I'm going to do one more year, but this is it. Like, that was the routine to him. And I think this year was when the shutters came down hard on some routines don't repeat themselves
I've never been in a relationship where I haven't known it was on his last leg.
But you're John Nichols.
What the fuck does that mean, nigga? I'm a regular nigga.
I mean, you're a very different person. Like, this is a megalomaniac.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
Saying he's insane enough to believe it.
He's been focused. Bro, he's never eaten strawberries, John, because they didn't fit his fitness profile. You know, he eats avocado ice cream, dog.
Like, you know.
Avocado
that's in his
cream.
Book. He eats avocado. That's what he has for ice cream. He has avocado ice cream, bro, with
psycho.
No cream in it.
It's just hard for me to imagine getting that
avocado
bad
ice cream.
You can't
you
put yourself in that brain, which
that
is good.
Bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they're probably in therapy, all and right. A nigga's still doing dumb shit like this. Like, oh man.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. It's just so stupid. So. It's just so dumb for an adult. You know what I mean? For him to not see this coming.
But I think, listen, I think we've seen kind of some of the same stuff with Michael Jordan, right? I mean, like some of these guys, you pull the curtain back and it's like, oh, being obsessed with winning is like kind of a horrible way to live your life, right? I mean, like it yields these great results and money and fame and all this stuff. I'm not in any way trying to say like, oh, Tom Brady should come to me for life advice.
No, nobody thinks that.
But for me, but for most of us, you look at what it actually takes to live like that, and it's, that, you know, you're trying to bend your whole family around your schedule. Like you're trying to bend everything around the whole thing I care about is winning these games. And now, and look, I've known a lot of pro athletes in all the major sports who've come out of playing. It's a hard landing for everybody. It's hard if you were a 10-time pro bowler. It's hard if you've just been on practice squads for 2 or 3 years, but someone's telling you the game you've been playing for, you know, since you were 4 or 5 years old is over forever. It's hard no matter what. And the fact this is just one of the very few things in the world, all the money, all the accomplishments, it's not going to make it easier. And I really, watching that video, I really did feel sorry for that dude. Like, this is not going to be fun. It's not going to be a fun transition for him.
I feel like when shit is very trash, you know what I'm saying? You know, maybe she finally said, yo, it's time. But I think they knew it was going to be time. And I understand the 10-day, it would still suck, even if you know the shit was trash and it was coming. It still sucks when it comes, bro. You know what I mean? Like, I've been in relationships where, like, probably for 6-7 months, I knew this shit, the day was going, like, it was getting close. You know what I mean? It was getting really stinky up in that motherfucker. You know what I mean? But even when breaking up and leaving the stench, you know what I'm saying? It still hurt a little bit. You know, hurt a lot. You know, and there's some adjustment to it, but you know it's better in the long run. That's why I feel like it was that. And that's why I feel like when they're having that real conversation of divorce, he takes some time to himself because fuck football at that point. You know what I mean? But, you know, I think he knew it was coming to that regardless. I just can't see somebody being that maniacal where they don't see their supermodel wife being all the way fed up with their ass. You know what I'm saying? It just seems crazy.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This year, the only app you need at your Super Bowl party is FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Download FanDuel now and use promo code JANJ, that's J-A-N-D-J, so you can bet Super Bowl 57 with a no-sweat first bet. You'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel lets you bet on everything from the money line to point spreads to who will score a touchdown. I would bet that the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl, and I would bet that Patrick Mahomes is going to have a big game. So those would be my picks. All of that on a top-rated sportsbook app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Best of all, you can get paid your winnings instantly. So join FanDuel today with promo code JNJ to claim your no sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. Make every moment more with FanDuel, a special official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $10 deposit required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG. We have, for the first time in history, two black quarterbacks playing against each other in the Super Bowl, Jalen Hurts and Pat Mahomes. I feel like this is a color barrier in sports that we are watching fall in real time. We're all of a generation, you know, older millennials, whatever, where we still grew up with, I mean, Rush Limbaugh on ES fucking PN before Donovan McNabb played talking about black quarterbacks. Like, this is a prejudice that is, like I said, I feel like something we're actually watching fall apart in our lifetimes. And it's great. I'm so happy for these two young men. And I don't know. I feel like this is, again, one of those rare moments where you can kind of actually see real progress, you know, in the league. And so much to go on coaches and the front office and ownership and everything else. But knowing how influential that position is in the psyche of America, I think this is a great moment.
I will say the counterpoint to that is the Lamar Jackson treatment.
Absolutely.
I feel like, I don't know, you know, what it is about Lamar Jackson, but that dude gets like 1974 criticism, bro. I'm like, you know, the shit that they criticize him about. I'm like, dog, I thought we moved past this like decades ago. So, yeah, it's a unique case with Lamar as an outlier, because I feel like he still gets a lot of the same bullshit that I thought we
moved
past. And just
to comment briefly on that, because I think that is such a complicated situation. Part of the thing, part of what's happening in that dynamic, and I totally agree with you about the criticism, but also, he's representing himself in those negotiations, which is there's a reason that most guys don't do that. And it's not just because it's extra paperwork. It's you're going to have an organization saying these are the problems with you, right? Like, you would want them saying that to, I mean, I would want them not saying that to me personally, but you know, that factors into it. And then I know from the reporting I'd read, he kind of put that Deshaun Watson contract as the North Star with just a completely unprecedented amount of guaranteed money. And all the reporting is every other owner in the league looked at that deal that Deshaun Watson signed with the Browns and said, that's fucking crazy. We will never do that, like to tie up that much guaranteed money. So some of that is, I think, a difficult thing. But I do think the appearance of the organization not valuing him has driven some of that, some of those criticisms, the narrative as well. I love it for
Hurts, too, knowing his journey. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I remember like when I was still watching football and shit. When he got benched for Tua, I think his junior year, you know what I mean? And like, it wasn't looking sweet for him. He went to Oklahoma, showed the fuck out, you know what I mean? Gets drafted. Now he's in the fucking Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? One of the best quarterbacks, if not the best quarterback in the league, right? One of the best quarterbacks in the league right now. You know what I'm saying? He's playing probably the best quarterback in the league in the Super Bowl. But yeah, man, I think that's dope. Cause I remember like seeing how he, you know, carried in stride, you know what I'm saying? Didn't get too down about it, still kept his confidence. I think they was talking about having him running like running back or some shit. And he was like, no, I'm a QB. I'm going to take my ass to Oklahoma. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, did his thing. And now he's in the league. So it's dope to see him like doing it, been doing his thing this year. You know what I mean? And last year as well. But definitely make the Super Bowl. That's crazy to see.
Did you guys see the video of Pat Mahomes' dad?
Yes. Yeah, there was conversation, you know, when the whole, you know, first Super Bowl with two black quarterbacks, they're like, I don't know, Pat Mahomes, we claiming him. When you see his pops, Capital there is N. No question. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you could have your question marks. You could have your questions about, you know, Junior or the second, but ain't no questions about
Nigga,
Papa.
Nigga,
hey,
one of us.
One of and us, you know, and
how he was talking he for real, but he called his son baby boy. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, that's a, yep, that, another, you know what I mean? Like, smoking that. I'm like, damn. But no, I love that. I love
smoking that Joe Burrow.
That Joe Burrow. We smoking that Joe Burrow. You know what I'm saying? He probably rolled up right after, too. It's wild, though. Like, I'm like, damn, it's crazy. The reason you would think that's his father is because how, you know, what's it, Mahomes speaks. But also, it's like, his other son is like, doing them weird ass dances in the fucking, like, bro, You know what I'm saying? Like, no matter how much of a nigga you are, you know what I mean? The apple can fall far from the tree because them apples bounce a few times and roll down the hill.
Yeah, them apples rolled a little bit. Yeah.
Because he one of us and they closer to one of them. But anyway, we go with that TikTokery ass shit, nigga.
So the apple tree might have been on top of a hill.
That motherfucker tumbled, you feel me? Shit.
Oh, Lord. All right. Question. What's the plan for when Braun breaks this scoring record next week? Y'all have festivities planned? Tyler, you got anything in the drafts? Or are we no longer accepting the GOAT debate because it's been settled? Like, what's the festivities going to look like?
I mean, I feel like the haters are going to have more of a field day than anybody. The haters have been gearing up ever since this record has been in sight. You know, I think the haters are going to be on full blast with, you know, trying to discredit it or whatever. So, and it sucks.
It's tough to discredit number one points ever, though.
They will. They absolutely fucking will. You know, they're already saying that he's pacing himself so he can break it at home and shit. Like, I don't know. I am looking forward to it as a basketball fan. I'm not looking forward to the discourse.
I've been stopped arguing with niggas about basketball on Twitter, bro. I freed myself of that. I don't give a fuck what these niggas say. Period. None of them, nigga. That shit is fucking incredible, dog. You know what I'm saying? And it also, like, was he fourth in the league in assists too?
He just jumped up. You know to what fourth, I mean? Like, bro, I don't assist.
Say yeah, he passed. Say. But somebody was arguing Jordan yesterday. And I calmly said, you say Jordan, LeBron, I ain't tripping. You know what I'm saying? It's about how you personally feel. But when we looking at these numbers, nigga, bro, number one scorer of all time, nigga, paced himself whatever he did it, motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Deal with that shit. And you going to try to come up with some, they didn't have a three-point. How many threes was this motherfucker Kareem going to shoot anyway, nigga? You know what I'm saying? Fuck you mean. He was also playing against motherfucking bums just like we did Jordan. You know what I'm saying? Regardless, I'm not trying to shit on Kareem because I think Kareem's incredible and he's a fucking dog. I'm not going that route. But you know what I'm saying? But like, dog, it's just pointless. You're not going to win. And also, Bron fans are annoying too. I've said some things questioning Bron too, and they said some weird ass, corny ass, fuck nigga, I don't know basketball ass shit. They don't be knowing shit either, dog. So fuck everybody, bro. I'm happy for Bron. I'm happy fuck for everybody. Bron, and that's where I'm keeping it, nigga. Me and my home, we celebrate. That's all I know.
Something. Yeah, I'm gonna celebrate like a motherfucker. Yeah. Like I said, I'm just not looking forward to the discourse, but. You know, I was thinking the other day, you know, when he went up to number fourth all time in assists, I was like, you know, we're going to have a player who's going to be number one scoring. He's going to be number four in assists because he's not catching
Chris Paul.
Playing.
Chris Paul right.
Like
he's still playing.
3,000 assists on him. And it's a moving target, right? Yeah. Yeah. So he's not catching Chris Paul. He's going to finish number one score, number fourth all time assists, which is fucking ridiculous. So I did like some research. I was like, who else is closest to Bron? In regards to you know being as high on scoring and being as high on the assist list, do y'all know who that player is?
But I know that I did not find many people to put in that conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's actually Kobe. He is number fourth in scoring and number 33rd in assists. Like that is you know how wide the gap is. But the runner ups here are Russ.
I thought maybe Russ assists, because of, you know triple double
scoring. So yeah, so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think when Russ finishes his career and moves up, you know, a bit on those, he'll be the closest one to him. Chris Paul is number three in assists and number 38 scoring. So, like, that just shows you how the package of passing and scoring, we've never seen in a player like this.
You talk about some of the best of the best to be in the top five in one and the top 35 in the other category. You're going to have someone who's number one ever.
One and number four.
And four right? ever. Like, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Not
dog.
Even close, bro.
Never seen anything like
that. I mean,
him,
Kobe,
man.
I mean, like, dog, Kobe's what, top 10 player all time? You know what I'm saying? And nigga, you say, like, he's the closest and he's not really close, you know, to doing it. You know, and also, I'm surprised Kobe passed the ball that much.
I didn't know he passed it that much. He may have gotten, maybe when Kobe was playing.
The Kobe stand rebuttal.
Passing out them doubles
the Kobe stand rebuttal was always, no other shooting guard since blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? And it was like, sometimes the numbers don't tell you what your eyeballs are telling you watching the game, though. You know what I mean? And so you're right. He would be a willing passer out of the double sometimes.
Sometimes. And
when he had somebody worthy on his team to pass to. We'll say that.
And he had several Hall of Fame teammates that he was good at playmaking
for.
You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Yeah. And I actually think, and funny shit about his passing, last stat he recorded was an assist in his last game. And I think the most iconic play in Kobe's career is that alley-oop, you know, to Shaq, Blazers in the 2000 Western Conference Finals.
My favorite, my favorite basketball memory as a sports fan. Mm-hmm. Just stupid. And being in Southern California, I was in high school when it happened too. Hearing people screaming everywhere. That was peak Laker car flag era. John, I wish you live here for peak Laker car flag era. It was the most obnoxious shit ever. It was so good. It was like troll pre-Twitter. You know what I mean? It was just like everyone's making fun of the car flags. We love these fucking car flags, and it's sunny all the time, motherfucker.
I actually remember watching that play and getting up and jumping, grabbing my head like, oh shit, he's here. You know what I'm saying? Like it felt different. Like, you know what I'm saying? That particular moment.
We ran out of the house. We ran up that and down. My friend Ryan and I, we ran up and down. I was
in college and niggas was losing their shit. You know what I'm saying? And we was over in Alabama. You feel what I'm saying? Like, losing our shit across the country. So.
That's fucking perfect. All right. We have to talk about. I want to take this track by track.
Oh, God.
Jackson, this is a social clip for the show. All right.
Some nasty, nasty work we're about to get into.
I want to talk about. Look, we talk about music every now and then on the show. We have got to talk about the upcoming album from the legendary Smokey Robinson called Gasms.
Nigga, can your dick work? Like, bro, what are you taking? Like, that's what I'm like, you singing about orgasms now? Tongue probably doing numbers, though.
Album comes out in I think in March. Here's what I'm gonna do. There's 9 tracks on Gasms.
God, that's so nasty.
I've got the track list, and I just want a rating from you guys. You know, 1 through 10 on how horny each track list is. First of all, the title track number 1, Gasms.
That's like a 3 or 4. I think that it's coming from an old man is the most, you know, shocking thing about this here. Like, you know, like if a 25-year-old R&B dude made a song called Gasms, no one would give a fuck. But this motherfucker's like 88 years old. So I think the old man part, bro, like shocks us more than with that
song. Juicy, juicy fruit. You know what I mean? I imagine him saying Gasms like that when he's, you know what I mean? And also to say Gasms. I've never heard of Gasms before. He made up some shit, bro. He chopped that motherfucker.
He chopped that motherfucker up.
To me. I give this an 8. It makes my stomach hurt. I give it that's just nasty.
Yeah.
Really? Gasms?
I agree. First of all, old people coming up with slang, with new slang, is always a tenuous proposition. But to come up with, to abbreviate the word orgasms on some, I'm going to hit him with gasms. Something they never thought about.
But can you imagine that falling out of his mouth? Gasms, the word gasms falling out of that mouth with all that Botox, nigga. Bro, I bet it got a stitch to it, motherfucker. That shit is nasty.
Got his eyebrow raised just like 2%. Yeah. That's right. It's called Gasms.
Oh, nasty. That's
Robinson.
At least 8.
All right. Track 2, old school horny, How You Make Me Feel.
Nah, that's 3.
That's 1. That's
a
3.
That's a 2-3. Yeah. Yeah, How You Make Me Feel.
That's some Motown shit. Yeah. That's some shit that
it's
he would have made,
a
you know,
nasty
50
because it's called Gasms. You know what I'm saying? So
because it's the second track on
so
Gasms.
It's 2-3. Yeah, yeah. So I'll give it a
track
2
on Gasms.
Jesus Christ. Track 2 on Gasms. Now we're playing track 2 on Gasms.
Track 2 on Gasms.
Spinning the B-sides from Gasms. Right. Track 3, I Want to Know Your Body.
Oh, that's turning up the notch on the horny a bit. That's about a 3, I'd say. You know, not offensive. You know, shouts to his old ass for understanding consent. There, you know what I'm saying? So, but the horny notch is getting intentionally turned up there, and he's looking you dead in your eyes while he's doing it. It is a little uncomfortable.
That.
I want to know.
Yeah,
your
I'll give
body.
It about a 3.
You know what
four.
I mean? It seems like, okay, I want to know your body. You know, that's how, that's a normal feeling. You know what I'm saying? So I give it a 3. I give it a 3. I think it's pretty benign too. Okay. Maybe a 2.
I keep calling you.
That's kind of scary.
That's a 1.
It's kind of scary. I think it's not really nasty. It's just I keep calling you. Like, yeah,
it's
bro.
A little threatening.
Like, I don't
First of all, no one picks up phone calls like that anymore in 2023, Smokey. If you don't text that girl, your old ass head. Leaving voicemails and everything,
number
too, I
five,
bet.
Roll around.
You can smell it. Okay, you can smell it. You can smell it, though.
I think that's middle of the road horny. I think that's about a 5.
I smell jupe. I smell a little jupe, dog. You know what I'm saying? You leave a little jupe lingering in the room, so maybe like yeah, 5 is good.
Gentlemen, how old do you think Smokey Robinson is?
He's staring at 80. I'd say 77.
He's 82 years old. So I do want 82? You to I do
God
want
damn,
you to
really?
Contextualize
okay, around at 82 years old, bro. Nicking. There's gonna be a lot of cricket and cracking and just nasty. Just bro, that's an 8. That's an 8.
Bro, a lot of bro, flaps getting was, pinched and, you know, stuff getting bro, stuck and things getting stretched.
Down, bro. You don't have to do this, nigga. Why are we here? You know what I mean?
Tom Brady retired before
bro,
you Smokey.
Bless,
come
you
on, 82. Bro.
You just can hang him up. Blessing, nigga. You ain't got to drop a gasms. We know this shit ain't gasming.
What the fuck? Okay, number 6 and 7, both low on the horny scale. Beside you, and if we don't have each other, both old school, you know, kind of tracks. So, number 8, you fill me up.
What does he mean?
Is this the Solomon? Is this the Solomon, Missouri thread for Smokey Robinson?
What does he mean? What
fill
does he
me
mean?
Up. Oh, man.
What does he mean?
Yeah, we're gonna need some context on
what
that
does
one,
he mean?
Smokey.
Hey,
goddamn.
It means that it's cool. Do what you do. But it's definitely horny.
It sounds
it's
dangerous, horny. Though, bro.
Definitely 80. Dangerous. But hey, it might be worth it, dog. Hey, I don't know. I ain't never been there. I got a lot of life to live, though. We never know. Maybe all I'll right. take that turn.
Number, it's true. Track number 9. This is the last track on Gasms, the closing track, if you will. Unless there's a secret track.
Yeah, probably.
There
should
be.
There should
be
on a Gasms. For Gasms. Yeah, for sure.
And I want you to really prepare your horniness scale before I tell you the title of this song. The name of the song is I Fit In There.
Bro, the horny scale
73
coming from it right now. That motherfucker exploded with springs and shit popping out like it's in the cartoon. That is the horniest that you could possibly get. God,
what do you say?
I belong
in
there.
I fit in there.
But also, bro, you took a real
there.
Close
I
look.
I fit in there.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? That's like after you analyze the vagina. You know what I mean? I fit in there.
I fit in there.
Bro, 73, dog. You know what I'm saying? Out of here. Yeah. The mercury
that
is fucking
the horny
nasty out here, bro.
There, the beast quake of the goddamn horny
and listen,
scale right there.
You know, we're all getting older, man. It's, you know, old people finding fulfillment, you know, satisfaction.
He's lying.
That's wonderful.
And there's a thing. Listen, I hope he's lying. I hope he's lying at 82. I don't want to have sex at 82. I'm going to be tired, nigga. You know what I'm saying? I want to make it through each day at 82. I ain't trying to drop nothing off. Fuck you, me.
Crazy. I asked my grandpa, passed away when he was 80, but I asked my grandpa when he was in his late 70s. You know, he and I would have very good, like, deep philosophical conversations and stuff. And I asked him, because he was always, what should have been a fatal heart attack when he was in his early 40s. He had his last rites read to him. He was Catholic. His last rites read to him by a priest in the hospital. Lived for, like, another, you know, 37 years or something. But so he was always conscious of his mortality. And he would literally, we'd be like, okay, we'll see you next weekend. And he'd be like, yeah, if I'm here, you'll see me. You know, like, that was literally how, you know, present he would think about
that.
Is that
how
stuff.
He dealt with it? Is and that so, how he dealt with okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, he was perfectly comfortable with it. He wanted us to understand. You know what I mean? Like, hey, this could go at any moment. But I asked him, I was like, you know, hey, have you, are you happy with your life? Like, you know, like, I could never have the perspective that you have. You're at the other end of it, right? And his response was, oh, I love my life. And he said, I wish I would have had a little bit more sex. And then he looked at me and he said, not now, though.
Ain't no backflips going on in that motherfucker, yeah. Nigga. Ain't nobody jumping off the top rope. No. You know what I mean?
No, I don't think so. Bro. Yeah. More or less appropriate being an NFL quarterback at age 45 or singing I fit in there at 82.
Definitely not Smokey to me, bro. I'm sorry.
I mean, hey, Smokey's wow. Still my guy, wow, man. Tyler. I mean, his 82 is different from our grandparents' 82. Like, that motherfucker has been rich as fuck for 60 years, dog, living the best fucking life, you know?
Maybe so, he does still fit in there. I'll put like this. Maybe he does
yeah,
still
yeah, I'll put like this.
His fist. Yeah.
If Smokey want to be out here fucking, Smokey is out here fucking. I guarantee that. It's all about the want on Smokey's part. I know Smokey can get some ass, bro.
Tyler,
no where? Question.
Oh, he bro, go to a Smokey Robinson show. I'm sure the lines are the same length that they were 50
years ago. Are you
serious,
bro? You think so?
Yeah, I'm guarantee you there's some grannies right now who will bust it open for Smokey. Ain't no doubt in my mind. He fits in there.
Shut the fuck up, please. I am disgusted by all of this.
This is so nasty.
All right. Let's turn to, we're just into February. Happy February. Happy Black History Month, everybody. But even though it's so early in the year, we're already ready to discuss our first nominees for Scammer of the Year. And I will just present this in bracket form. I'll read these two stories and y'all can tell me who survives this month as Scammer of the Year. The first, I sent you guys a screenshot from a Facebook account called Cornelius Webster, who's offering to prepare people's taxes. He said, "The people have been asking, so I shall deliver. We're going to be in jail, but when we get out, we're going to have them banned. Y'all tap in. I need 50% of your return. Please, if you're scary, do not contact me. We're going for a million on each return. Contact our company email."
I love it, man.
And it says, here's your estimated refund so far, $923,937.
Bro, we going to jail. That's not a scam, bro. He telling you what's going to happen. We going to go to jail, but we going to be good afterwards. We going to get the racks, though. You feel me? It might be worth that 10, that yeah. 8 you might put in, you feel me? But you're going to be good for the rest of your life, man. It's just a little sacrifice, you feel me? That ain't a scam.
I think I agree with you, and also the email given is at countyjail.com, so I think that this is just a great joke, but I don't think they ever had a chance to beat the person on the other side of the bracket anyway, which is a 23-year-old junior varsity basketball coach, Tyler sent us this, who subbed in to play for a player who is out of town, a JV player. She was impersonating a 15-year-old. She was a 23-year-old. Tyler sent us this clip. They had her on the news. She was shit-talking. She was yelling "and one" and doing the count the bucket. This is nasty level scamming. This is truly disgusting.
Listen, I'm going to tell you. As a Virginian, I loved it because, like I told you, that shit happened in Portsmouth, and this is some Portsmouth-ass shit. Anyone from Virginia, you know exactly what the fuck I'm talking about. This is some P-Town-ass shit right here, and I love it because Portsmouth is a black-ass city that's known for, like, shenanigans like this, right? It's a city where motherfuckers do not fuck around, you know what I'm saying? So this is some Portsmouth-ass shit, bro, and I love it for that.
Did she know she was going to get caught? There are cameras literally everywhere in this fucking country, bro. Like, you thought this was just going to be sweet. You know what I'm saying? You're going to do it one time, maybe drop 20 and then go home, go back to coaching on some regular shit. They see you next year as a coach. They ain't going to say shit to you. You know what I'm saying?
And she was tall as fuck. She was like 5'10 out there with all those like 5'2 girls. I'm like, God damn.
Yeah, she was a big, bro. I'm like, damn. Yeah. Right. She would have dunked on my ass.
She was talking shit too.
Yeah. Talking about something.
She bumped that girl.
The parents were out there. Like, you thought the kids' parents didn't know she was doing this? It's a really wild stunt, bro. You know what I mean? It's so crazy.
Maybe she knew the job. Maybe she knew she wasn't going to be there long or whatever. And she just wanted to get some buckets for the last time. If so, good for her.
You got to do it in the varsity game, bro. You got to do it in the varsity game. You can't do that to JD.
Do it in the varsity game, no. You know what I'm saying? Like, they would have pulled your ass. Fuck it. You would never be able to check in. You know what I mean? Nobody really pays attention to JV anything. You know what I'm saying? So she had to get it how she got it. And she got it. She braver than me, though. These kids different, nigga. I don't miss basketball at all, man. Niggas is getting freaked out here. Get got out here on the court, nigga. I don't want no part of it. But yeah, that's crazy.
Not in a JV girls game, brother. Yeah.
Ain't no sauce. It's crazy. Like high school, a nigga come off the bench and throw the sham god on your ass, bro. I'm like, damn, but you the sixth man. You supposed to be a regular ass dude. And you done got me off my feet. Goddamn crazy.
All right, so it's a 23-year-old JV basketball coach. That's the scammer of the month for Jenkins and Jones.
She wasn't getting away with that. That's a bad scam, but she tried.
She got on the news. Her highlight tape is out there. She got some exposure.
She's 23. Her highlight reel went viral.
The hardest roster on the planet to make. Hey. Those rosters are impossible to make.
NAIA schools are about to be, you know. She's not going to be coaching anymore, I'll tell you that.
For sure.
All right. We're going to have Jackson come on for the last segment because John and I have not watched Last of Us yet, but I know the third episode just came out last weekend, and Tyler and Jackson are both. You can watch it tonight. I don't care about having stuff spoiled for me. There's John, if you want to mute your shit, I'll wave you back in after they're done.
I am John, really, if you're going to watch
it. I don't give a fuck about spoilers, but I'll tap out if you think so. For sure.
No. This is an episode you need to feel without knowing what's coming next.
You got me as horny as Smokey Robinson
telling you, this motherfucking episode three, dog.
Can't wait to watch this shit.
I'm giving John at least 3.5 gasms right now.
All right, let me turn my volume down. All right, y'all go and do your thing.
You don't fit in here anymore, John.
I don't fit in there? What'd you say? I don't fit in there. You're so cocky.
That's
man.
The hardest thing I've ever heard in my life. God damn. All right, so, okay, I think John's gone. But yeah, so I really just tapped in because everyone was talking about how amazing that episode was, right? Like, I was probably going to pass on The Last of Us because I kind of know what happens in it. You know what I mean? So I was like, you know, I'm really not going to, I don't know how invested I'm going to be in the whole journey of the shit since I know what's going to happen. But I'm probably going to stick with it because, you know, I gave it a go. It's fucking amazing. And that episode three, man.
That fucked me.
Bro, it's like, I am not over exaggerating.
Spoilers,
I'm not
right? Should we drop
that
it as spoilers?
This is, yeah.
Okay, yes, so from this spoilers, point on, so skip towards the end if you don't want spoilers for Last of Us.
Yeah, but like I said, I'm not over exaggerating at all when I say when we talk about all time episodes of television that just examine love in its purest, rawest form, this is going to be on that list. Like, it is that fucking good. It's going to clean up at the Emmys. It's going to go on a crazy award run. You know, the performances that we got were fucking amazing from Ron Swanson and the White Lotus homie. I don't know that. They were just so fucking amazing in this. I will say, you know, and this is something we discussed, you know, before just amongst us. The shit that hit me the hardest was when Frank, you know, whenever he'd have an argument with what was Ron Swanson's character's name? Yeah. Whenever Frank and him would have an argument, Frank would always, you know, ask him, you know, do you love me? And not in a manipulating type way, a sincere way. And, you know, when he would get the answer, of course I do. And he would respond back with, okay, then love me the way I want you to love me. We saw that, you know, during that argument when he wanted to spiffy up the neighborhood, remember? Of course. And then we saw it at that argument when he wanted, you know, him to assist him with his suicide, right? And that's just what love is, bro. Like I said, you got to love people the way they want you to love them, even if it might inconvenience you. Like, I don't know if I could ever, you know, assist suicide with my wife. Maybe in a zombie apocalypse, possibly. But yeah, it was just such a heavy, beautiful portrayal of, like I said, love in like its rawest and purest form.
The episode was amazing. The first two episodes were obviously nothing like the third episode, but also still very compelling. I thought that, I mean, I didn't play the game, so I don't have like any sort of knowledge of the universe, but like just the creativity with, I guess, I don't even know if they're zombies, whatever these infected beings are, and like tendrils and the communication across the whole universe with if you step on it's so clever, and it obviously comes from a game, but like it's so clever and it's so well told. And I like how in that third episode, like, it's the sweetest, most insanely compelling love story that you're so invested in so fast, and they still have like hilarious comedic moments. Like the fact that they're able to like have that episode be that fucking emotionally impactful, and also have a line where Ron Swanson goes, "The government is all Nazis."
Like, well, yeah, now, but not back then. Yeah, it was like I said, it was just such a it didn't feel like television. It felt like you were, you know, actually watching a real couple go through, you know, the ups and downs of love and everything. It was just such an honest, beautiful portrayal. You know, it deviated a bit from the whole, hey, you know, we're running from Nazis, trying to stay alive, but it stayed on course with the theme of this, and I feel like the theme of every zombie apocalypse, which is, you know, people just looking for something to cling to, something to love when they have no reason, you know, to push on, you know, in the environment that they were in. And that's kind of like, you know, the underlying theme of all fucking zombie apocalypse shows, movies or whatever. And yeah, they just knocked that shit out of the park, man. It's an all time television episode, like instant classic shit.
Yeah,
man.
I agree. I'm really excited to see how the rest of the show goes. I'm disappointed. I'm just sad, like seeing after the episode comes out, people talking about how this compares to the game. The only bummer part about the way they structure the episode is that we don't get to see Joel and Ellie like communicate with Bill, which I guess they did in the game,
which would have been
very fun. But it's just, I think it's just really cool that they have to be very intentional about the choices they make, when to deviate from the game and when not to, and to make and have be the first like big decision and have it go so fucking beautifully is really, really impressive.
Right. Yeah, and you know, for all the people, oh, they're going woke, making them gay, bro. They were gay in the video game, by the way. So that was implied, and they just kind of hammered
stupid.
But yeah, because you know those motherfuckers were out there in full force, But yeah, man, just like, bro, just a phenomenal fucking episode, man, or an achievement for real.
Yeah, and then for the rest of the show, I think it's really, it has a Game of Thrones factor, which is like, they will fucking kill anyone. They let you know early. Yeah. Your characters, they are not fucking safe.
Right. That's how it gotta be, man. You know, that's how shit would really shake down in a zombie apocalypse. You never know who's gonna get it, 100%. Dog. It's real out here in these zombie streets.
It's hard to believe we grew up on television where the goal of the show was for everything to be the same when it ended as it was when it started. And there's like, Abbott Elementary, there's like very few shows like that. I mean, I guess like the NCIS's or something are probably, but even those is like people get killed and shit on those now. You know what I mean? So I don't know. We've said this before. I mentioned this on the show. Like, Shar and I are big fans of the show Justified. Justified is not on anyone's top 10 TV shows of all time list, but it's better than anything that came out for the first 60 years of television. It's like, because there's a story arc and there's realistic writing and like things are at stake. You know what I mean? All right. We'll tap in, Tyler. It might, Shar and I are so slow watching stuff, it might take us a little bit to catch up, but we're going to tap in for sure.
It's so fucking good, bro.
All right. Should I wave John back in?
I just tapped back in. That gave me the thumbs up already.
Tonight, bro.
I'm gonna have some gases while I'm watching.
Jackson beat me on the thumbs up.
Too many. I'm gonna take a rest after.
Bro, so had some gas.
Sleep tonight, bro.
Sleep well. We're gonna be gasming, rather.
We need to do a group. We need to do a group listening party for gasms when it comes out.
Do we?
People can listen along with us. Yeah.
9 tracks, so it's about what, 45 minutes? I'll give it all. I'm definitely gonna listen to it.
Someone put up a snippet. Someone put a snippet of that song up on Twitter, and it is not a misleading.
Let's just go live again on the AMP app. You know what I'm saying?
On the AMP app.
Yeah, just listen to it. Live again
on the AMP app.
Yeah, hear me?
All right. That's all the time we got for today. We'll be back on Monday for another episode of Jenkins and Jones. Thanks for hanging out with us. And I hope everyone has a great weekend.
Get you
we'll
some
see
gasms
soon.
In, baby.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, guys. You know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride.
With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.